We're going to be continuing, there we go, with our series on A Week to Change the World. I'm coming back. We're going to be talking about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples and going to have a bit of a visual today to kind of show you what that looks like here at Buffalo Valley. So I have a volunteer to come up here and get ready. Now I know that many of you have probably never been to a foot washing service here at Buffalo Valley. And so we thought we'd take a minute to kind of show you what this is like. And I'm guessing that some of you are kind of thinking that it's sort of something like this. But it's not really like this. No, it's not like this. It's not like this at all. Thank you, Jamie, for helping us out. It's not like that, okay? It's not like that. So we have two of our men here, two volunteers, Eli and Brian, who are just going to show you what happens at the foot washing part of our love feast.
Serve in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, gentlemen. So that is essentially, if you guys wouldn't mind grabbing those chairs for me, taking them down there. Thank you, Brian. That's essentially what foot washing service looks like. That is part of our love feast that we celebrate twice a year. Men wash the feet of men, women wash the feet of women. So that's one-third of what we do. We gather together for a meal. We take what's typically called the bread and cup communion with the juice and the bread, and then we have a foot washing service. And I just want to encourage many, many of you who perhaps don't come out to do this twice a year with us to come on out. And I just wanted to show you that as this is the week or the event that we're going to be looking at in Jesus' life of a week that changed the world, and just wanted to give you a visual about what that's all about, how that really happens, and how significant that can be in our life. So our next love feast will be the Thursday before Easter, and really would love to encourage you to come on down. Kids, if you haven't already gone back to junior worship, you may do that now, or if you've already done that, then that's fine. Let's get going this morning. A week that changed the world. Can you turn on my clicker here? So it's on. Okay.
It was now the day before the Passover.
This is Okay, well, just pause it for a second. I'll set this up now. This is the text today, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And I thought that we would actually watch it and listen to it instead of reading it together. In these kinds of videos, and you may have seen these before, the only words you will hear are the words of Scripture. We obviously don't know what the facial expressions were like, so those are just left up to interpretation. But the only words that you will hear are the actual words from Scripture. So it'll be as if we were reading John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, but we'll be watching it. And this is Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Go ahead.
It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel round his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter.
Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?
You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later.
Never at any time will you wash my feet.
If I do not wash your feet, you will no longer be my disciple.
Lord, do not wash only my feet, then. Wash my hands and head too.
Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not need to wash themselves, except for their feet. All of you are clean. All except one.
Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table.
Do you understand what I have just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you should do so because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice.
All right, so that's John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. what we want to do in this series that we've been that we started last Sunday and that we're going to continue here in March is look at a week that changed the world. Look at the events in the last week in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus, and then ask ourselves, what do these events teach us? What do these words teach us? How should they impact us? How should they change how it is that we live our daily lives? And so that's what I've been asking you to consider. Now, there's so much here in this text, and I think Dale mentioned it earlier during the announcements. We'll be talking a lot more about this text tonight at Worship in the Word at 6:30. So I'm just going to laser focus in on this idea of washing the feet, but there's so many other things that we can talk about in this particular passage. So let me just jump right in. Here's my big idea. I think, anyway. It's not working. Well, let me turn it off and on one more time. Now we went too far. No, there we go. Okay, how's the last week of Jesus' life changed the world? Here we go. Here's my big idea. A secure purpose, person, and position. A secure purpose, person, and position enable us to serve God and one another. Purpose, person, and position. That's what we see here. That's what I see in the video. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's dive right in. Number one, Jesus was secure in his purpose. Verse 1 of John chapter 13 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus knew what his purpose was for coming to earth. The disciples didn't understand that, and you caught that in the video, but Jesus knew what his purpose was. He knew that his hour had come. He knew that soon he would be crucified, and then he was, of course, going to be resurrected, and he knew that he would be departing from this world to the Father. Jesus understood what his purpose was. Now, the disciples didn't get it. And just before this particular event, chronologically, just a little bit before this, we read these scriptures from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. The disciples were arguing amongst themselves. They were arguing as to which one of them would be greatest, which one of them would have the greatest position next to Jesus in the kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This idea of knowing what our purpose is frees us up to serve. It frees us up to understand who we are in Christ and what God has for us in this world. And the essence of being a follower of Jesus is sacrificial service. That's what Christianity is all about. And Jesus demonstrated that for the disciples, and he demonstrates that for us today through his word. And we are to demonstrate that to others. If you know Christ as Savior, you've signed up to be a servant. You've gone from being a servant of sin to a servant of righteousness, according to the book of Romans. You have signed up to serve. And so we look at this example of Jesus, and it kind of, you look at the faces of the disciples on this video, they're kind of going, "What in the world is going on?" That's what he came to do. He came to serve, and those who follow him also have a purpose of serving. That is who we are. That is the essence of our element. And we serve not from our own ability, but from Christ's ability in us. We don't have the ability to serve this way. We don't have this ability in and of ourselves or of our own accord, our own strength. But God gives us the ability to serve like this. God has given us gifts. God has given us overflowing and abundant love out of which or from which we serve other people. That's our purpose. And if you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you think, "Well, I don't really want that purpose." Well, ultimately, it's the best purpose for you. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But we can be secure in our purpose knowing that our purpose is to serve. Number two, Jesus was secure in his person. He was secure in who he was. In verse 3, we read, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself." Jesus was secure in his person. He understood that he had come from God and he was going to God. He knew who he was individually. We live in a world that talks a lot about this, and it uses the word self-esteem. And even sometimes in churches, people talk a lot about self-esteem, and some folks out there have written lots of books about self-esteem. I want to encourage you or challenge you to think differently than what the world is teaching you regarding self-esteem. The Bible does not want us to esteem ourselves highly. The Bible wants us to understand that our person is only really worthy of value and esteem when Christ is in us. Much of today's focus on self-esteem leads to a demand to be served by others rather than a desire to serve others. If I build myself up of who I am and my gifts and my abilities and my talents and everything about me, it doesn't really then lend itself very well for me to want to serve you. Instead, since I'm all that in a bag of chips, I've decided that you need to serve me. All right? That's not what God desires. That's not his purpose. That's not the way the scripture reveals who you and I are. In fact, the Bible is very clear that when God's word talks about us apart from Christ, it uses very unflattering language. The prophet Jeremiah says that the heart, your heart, my heart, our person, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isaiah says that all of us are like sheep who have gone astray. Isaiah also writes that all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds are the same as filthy rags. Romans says that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. The idea of understanding your purpose in Christ and your person in Christ is not to build yourself up based on who you are and the abilities, because we're not much. And the whole Bible screams that fact. The whole Bible screams that you and I without Christ are messed up individuals who need a what? A Savior. We need a Savior. We don't need self-esteem. We need to recognize that apart from Christ, and I know this doesn't fit with the world's message, and sometimes it doesn't even fit with the messages that you hear in some churches, but it fits with the Bible because God is trying to say us, look, we're all sinners. We're all train wrecks. We're all messed up. And we don't need to just think more highly of ourselves. We need a Savior. We need Christ to come in and to forgive us of our sin. We need the Spirit of God to come in and work in our lives and from His presence produce love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Not to just gin it up on our own. It's not the idea. I can't feel good about me, but I can feel good about me and Jesus together. This book is not, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. Yes, we're a special creation. We're created by God. We've been created in the image of God. But this book is not designed to build me up by myself. This book is not designed to encourage you by yourself, to be all you can be by yourself. This book is written to reveal that you and I by ourselves are not very much, but that you and I with Christ can be more than conquerors. That you and I with Christ can be everything that God wants us to be. That's who our person is. Jesus was secure in his person, which allowed him to serve. Now, as it relates especially to this concept of washing feet, most of us are comfortable or more comfortable in serving than in being served. Most of us have served. Sometimes we just have to serve, and we serve. The issue for most of us is not struggling with serving, but with being served. My professor in my Brethren Life and Thought class, which I just thankfully finished one of those classes on last Saturday, he said to me, we were talking about this, and he said, I have no trouble washing people's feet. And I'm proud of it, he said. And we laughed, because that's not the idea. All right, he's like, I have no trouble serving other people. No trouble. I could wash everyone's feet. That's not a problem for me. He said, but I struggle in letting somebody else wash my feet. I suspect that that's probably true for most of us. Most of us can serve others, but we struggle in being secure enough in who we are to let someone else serve us. This is so true and evident in human life because so many times people come, if they come to a pastor or come to a counselor with a marriage issue, they've waited until it's almost too late. Or even sometimes it's a financial issue and they've waited until it's almost too late because they've not been secure enough to say, you know what, I need help. I need to be served by someone. It goes against our grain of self-sufficiency and our grain of self-esteem. But if we don't have that problem, then we're so much more willing to say, you know what? I'm secure enough to let you serve me and to help me out. I have to be secure in my person to allow someone else to serve me. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, and is trying to teach us still today. Many people say they are okay even when they've just been KO'd. Right? How you doing? Oh, great. Oh, fine. You're not fine. You've just been knocked out. But instead of being able to say, oh, could we talk? Could you pray with me? We just put on that front. Why? We're not secure enough in who we are in Christ. We feel like we have to put up this front of ourselves. We don't need to do that. Because again, we're nothing apart from Christ, who indwells us and gives us meaning and gives us significance. So Jesus was secure in his purpose. Jesus was secure in his person. Jesus was also secure in his position. He was secure in his position. John 13:13-14. He said to the disciples, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Oops, let's go back. You also ought to wash. His position was teacher and Lord. He's God incarnate. Now, they don't really understand all of that yet, but they would later. But he was God in the flesh. But did you notice the looks on their faces as he got up to wash their feet? Sort of looking around like, are you going to let him do this? What's he doing? What is happening here? Okay? But Jesus was secure in his position to serve other people. We need to be secure in our position as a child of God to be willing to serve other people and to be able to serve other people. Jesus was not confused about his position. He was confident in his position. He knew who he was. And that freed him up to serve. In Jewish culture or Jewish custom, it would have been the practice that the household servant would have washed the feet of guests when they come into the house. That was the idea. That was what the role of the servant was. And you can see from the very first picture, you know, they're not wearing Nikes and Pradas and whatever else we wear. Well, I don't wear Pradas, but whatever else we wear, you know, wingtips, whatever things we, socks and, you know, paved roads. They didn't have any of that stuff. So their feet would be disgusting. Sweaty, hot, caked on dirt. And so the role of the servant of the household was to wash your feet when you came in. But if you remember, these disciples were already arguing about who was going to be greatest among them. The last thing they're going to do is, you know, for James or John or Peter to look around and go, hey, there's no servant. Yeah, guess what? I'll wash everybody's feet. They're not thinking about that. That's not what they want to do. That's not in their paradigm. That's not in their position. They want to argue about who's going to sit in the right hand, who's going to sit in the left hand of Jesus when he comes in his kingdom. They were not secure in their position. They didn't understand it. But Jesus understood his position very, very well. And if you're struggling with this idea of service, I need you to understand this, that genuine service actually enhances our position in the eyes of those we serve. It really does. It enhances the position. It's not about this being beneath you or beneath me. It's about serving, and that actually enhances who we are in Christ. I hope you see how security actually frees you up to serve. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that is your primary description. Service. There have been many studies done, and probably you've heard about this particular study, about how this works in the lives of children. There's a particularly famous study out there where they set up a teacher or a couple of teachers and a group of children on a playground. And the playground had no boundaries, no fence or anything like that. And they videoed and surveyed these children and watched them, and they found that what the children would do on this new playground is they would pretty much huddle around the teacher. They rarely went away from the teacher. They only used a small portion of the playground. And then they took them to a very similar playground. Maybe it was even the identical playground, but they had put a fence around it. And what happened? What happened was the children now used the entire playground. They were free to go away from the teacher. They didn't feel the need to be there. They went right up to the fence and, you know, right around the whole playground. They used the whole entire playground. That boundary meant security for them, and it freed them up to enjoy the entire playground. I think when you and I understand that service is who we are, that we'll be secure enough to be able to serve. It's like there's all kinds of applications to that study, perhaps, but it frees us up to understand who we are in Christ and what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to be thinking about, well, if I wash somebody's feet, then that looks kind of ill of me, or that puts me. No. It's all about service. And go far beyond foot washing into everything, into daily life and the things that we do in our marriages, as parents, as children in school, as in the workplace. Service is so freeing and so beneficial. And for the follower of Jesus, it's what you're called to do. And to ignore it or to step aside from it is simply nothing other than disobeying the God who saved you and who serves you through salvation in so many other ways. So three questions as we leave. Number one, am I secure in my purpose? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I don't think you can say yes to this question. I'm not sure what you think your purpose is. It's probably a good one. It could be related to your job. It could be related to your family. It could be related to something else. But I'm here to tell you that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to follow Jesus. Your purpose is to come into an intimate relationship with the Creator God who made you and crafted you, but in whom you were separated or are separated because of sin. But Jesus died on the cross for the purpose of providing salvation, and he lived a life for the purpose of showing us how to live a life of service in the world around us to make an impact for him. And your purpose is to serve whether you are CEO or LIL, which means last in line. Whatever it is you are, that's your purpose. Your purpose is to serve. Security in that, freedom in that is wonderful. Number two, am I secure in my person? Now, you are a special creation. You are created by God. You're created in the image of God. You are distinct from the animal kingdom. You are distinct from other. You're special and wonderfully made. But you and I are also horribly spoiled and marred by sin. But in Christ, the Bible says that we're what? A new creation. In Christ, we're more than conquerors. In Christ, we experience the forgiveness of sin and eternal life with Jesus Christ. The answer to low self-esteem, I mean, if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I just don't think very well of myself, it's not to think more highly of me. That's not the answer for you. The answer for anyone who struggles with self-esteem is not to think more highly of yourself, but it is to think more highly of you and God. It is to think more highly of what God offers. And it breaks my heart to see so many people running around trying to build up themselves when all of that is just going to fall down. So am I secure in my person? And then lastly, am I secure in my position? Am I secure in my position? And this really relates back to the purpose, because it sort of goes like this, that my position as servant is connected to my purpose of service. God has saved us to serve. God has equipped us to serve. And listen, you can serve people. You can serve God and never wash another person's feet. Right? But what this does for us twice a year, it's a reminder. And you know what? CBS is not reminding you that you need to serve and be served. Fox is not reminding you that. ESPN is not talking about how you need to serve and be served. But something like washing feet, being together, reminds us of that. Reading these words reminds us of that. We're here to serve and to be served. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for just the opportunity to think about your word this morning. I pray that wherever we are in this idea of service, wherever this lands, that you would germinate the seeds. Perhaps we understand this concept, we really get service well. We understand it. You have worked in our lives in a great way, and we get it. I just want to encourage those who have fallen in that camp to just continue to serve. Lord, and to continue to be secure that whether they see results from that service or not, it doesn't matter because the service is ultimately to you. Father, those who are here this morning who are followers of you, but who struggle with this, I pray that we would learn from your example. I pray that we would see how secure you are in your position and purpose and person. And that same security is available to us as followers of Christ. And for those who are here this morning who have never chosen to follow Jesus, I pray that those dirty feet that we saw in the video could represent our lives. Dirty. We need cleansing. And that cleansing only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that even today you might move those individuals to want to come into relationship with the living God. To move from being a servant or a slave of sin to a servant or a slave of righteousness and to God. Father, please, we're servants. Equip us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the praise team comes back up, if there's anything about this message or anything else that you'd like to pray about, I'll be back in the prayer room, which is the corner room right back here on this side, and you can come back and we can pray together as we sing.